All right. So I'm happy to be here today, and in a half an hour or so, you'll decide whether you're happy I was here today. So my message today is... hold on a second. Where'd I put it? Did I leave it over there? Oh, yeah, it's over here. My message today is on waiting. Have you been waiting? Did you like it? A lot of us don't like to wait. So what were you thinking when I was looking for my notes? I hope he finds them, right? Or maybe I hope he doesn't find them. How about I wish Randy or Fred were here. Anyway, waiting is not something that we like. I know it's not in my top 10 things that I like. It's not in my top 100, actually. And it's so we don't like it, but the Bible speaks about it a lot. I mean, in about 3 minutes, I came up with 7 or 8 scriptures, and I'm just going to kind of rattle them off a little bit. So in Scripture, there are some commands about waiting. Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently." Underscore that, okay? In Habakkuk 2:3, it says, "Revelation awaits an appointed time. You wait for it." So again, we have to wait for revelation. Who doesn't like revelation? I don't see any hands. We like revelation. We have to be patient and wait for it. Very familiar scripture, scriptural command, Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." So we have to wait there. So those are commands, and there are more commands. I just picked out a few of them. There are promises also in scripture about waiting. Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, "The Lord longs to be gracious to us. Blessed are those who wait for him." So you wait. You get blessed because God wants to be gracious to you. Lamentation 3:24 says, "The Lord is our inheritance, therefore we wait for him." Psalm 40, 1-3, "Wait patiently for the Lord," and says, and ... later on it says, "He heard my cry, he removed my despair, he steadied me, and many were amazed." So that's pretty cool. And finally, Isaiah 40:31 says, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, wings like eagles, walk and not get tired," and all of those wonderful things. And then there's even a command with a promise, all hooked up together. Acts 1, verse 4. Jesus is speaking to the disciples after the resurrection, but before his ascension, and he says, "Wait in Jerusalem, hang out there, and you will see the promise of my Father." So, why did God write all these things in his book if it was so hard for us to do? So why should we wait? I mean, if it's a pain and we don't like it, why not do it? Well, we should do it because we're commanded to. We should do it also because there are promises of God. If you like those kinds of things that God gives, then you should wait. Another thing about waiting is the supernatural things happen very often when we wait. So we live in a natural world where we can do things, and those things are all kind of natural. But when God does things, it's often supernatural. So when we're sick, we go to the doctors, but sometimes we get prayer and God heals us. Sometimes we have to wait for him to do that. There's other kinds of good results that happen when we wait. And going back to the Acts 1, chapter 4, where Jesus tells the disciples to wait, they waited, and what happened? Pentecost, right? Holy Spirit shows up, and some wonderful, powerful things. And if that wouldn't have happened, if God didn't have a plan B for that, and that wouldn't happen, you wouldn't be listening to me today, because we probably wouldn't be gathering, because that's when everything started, the church was born, and you know the rest if you've been sitting in a pew for any length of time. I've got a testimony to share. This was something that I was a part of many years ago. So there was a It was a guy that I knew very well, actually. But there was one thing I did not know about him. On this particular day that we were together at a prayer meeting, he had just recently gone to the dentist just a few days prior with a lot of pain and in his mouth. And it was discovered that he needed a root canal. And he had an opportunity to get it taken care of right then and there, but he didn't. He said, you know what? He said, there's a prayer meeting coming. I know we're going to have an opportunity to pray for one another. And so he said, I think I'm just going to wait and see what God does. So we were in a room with 50 or 60 people, probably this size crowd. And at one point, after worship, the leader said, okay, if anyone has any words of knowledge that they would like to share, please go ahead and do that. And a number of people shared different kinds of things where they felt that God wanted to work and heal this or do whatever. And I was sitting I think I was in the next to the last row. And all of a sudden, I had this very sharp pain in the upper part of my mouth, way in the back where that last molar is. Well, I had that last molar removed when I was, I think, 13 or 14 years old. So all I got is a blank over there. And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe God wants to do something. So I just shared, about this this pain that I was feeling, right here. And this friend of mine who was in the room, I didn't even know that he was in the room. There was so many of us crammed into a much smaller space than we are here. So he came over to me and he said, Bob, that is exactly the place where I have the need for the root canal. So I prayed over him. He was in, we weren't doing the pain level from 1 to 10 back then, but I did pray over him and his pain level went away. So whatever it was, it went to zero, and then he went back to his dentist later on. I don't know exactly the time frame of it, but it was gone, and he never had it again. And so he was blessed by that time that night, and I was too. It was really, really, really cool. So waiting on the Lord, there can be some really good things that happen when we wait on the Lord. So what does waiting on the Lord look like? We think about waiting on the Lord, what kind of comes to mind? So when I was thinking about this, what came to mind was going to a restaurant. You go as a patron to a restaurant, and the wait staff waits on you. So what kind of things are you looking forward to? This is audience participation. What are you looking for when you go to a nice restaurant? What do you want? Good service. Hello. Good food, quality, good portions, right? Right. Keep the water full, right? How about things like, I put a few other things down here. How about a nice smiling host or hostess that greets you? How about a server who seems like they're really concerned for you, right? To sum it all up, we want a pleasurable experience, right? I threw that out of Fred. We want a pleasurable. Did you read my notes? I thought you just read. Okay. So anyway, yeah, we want a pleasurable experience. So let's put now let's take this into a context with God. So if God is the patron coming to the restaurant and we are waiting on him, what is our goal in the waiting? Should we just be hanging out here? Blessing him, right? We want to bless God. We want to be actively giving God pleasure. And what does God take delight in? When we please God, we too are pleased. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, you take delight in the Lord, and he gives you the desires of your heart. Is anybody not blessed by getting the desires of their heart? So there's a connection there between us blessing God and God blessing us. And I think anyone who's been sitting in a pew for any length of time realizes that you can't ever outgive God, because God is the great giver and he takes care of all of our needs. So Something jumped out at me when I was, this wasn't when I was preparing my message, but I was reading in John 15 sometime over the last month or so, and something jumped out at me. So John 15 talks about Jesus talking about abiding in him. And when I read that, in some translations, it uses the word remain in me. But neither of those really clicked. And I said, we don't use the word abide very much, except another definition for abide is like, you have to abide by the rules, that kind of thing. But there is another definition, that the scriptural definition for abiding in John 15. So I took this out of my word study dictionary. It says, to remain united in heart, in mind, and in will, to await, to persevere, to tarry constantly or frequently. And I thought, well, that's kind of connecting between the whole business of waiting on the Lord. So we wait by tarrying with God. We wait by turning over our hearts, our minds, and our will over to God. And as we do that, we indeed wait on God. So waiting on God is not a passive thing. It's an active thing that we do. It also requires patience. Several of the scriptures that I read talked about waiting patiently. And, we've heard the sayings, how's it go? Good things come to those that wait, waiting patiently. So that's kind of a good thing, to have an attitude of waiting patiently. But patience is also not just a virtue, as one would say, but it's also Galatians 5, verse 22, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and fear of the Lord. So, I got the last one wrong. It was not fear in the war. It's self-control. Thank you, Paul. So that's one thing. Patience is important in our waiting. And then another thing that's important in our waiting is having faith. Because if I'm waiting for any one of you, let's say, I'll pick on my wife. So let's say I'm waiting to go out to dinner with her, and she said, I'll be there in a little bit. And so she's in the bedroom doing something, and after 10 minutes, how are you doing? I'll be there in a little bit. And then she's in the bathroom, primping, doing whatever, how are you doing? We got a reservation in 20 minutes. I'll be there shortly. So there's interaction that's going on there between her and me. And, sometimes, just to be totally fair, sometimes the roles are switched in our house, okay? So the waiting patiently, maybe I won't be patient, but I've got some feedback, okay, with my wife, that there is something going on, and there will be a point in time when we will depart, when the waiting will be over. But sometimes, in order for us to wait on the Lord, we have to just have faith, because he's not speaking to us all the time just saying, just in 4 more days, I'm going to give you this blessing that you've been praying for, or just in 12 more days, or just in God's time, right? This one day is as 1,000 years. I just hope he never asked me to wait a day for something. But it would be challenging. But in our relationship with God, faith is a key factor. And the scripture also says that without faith, we cannot please God. And this whole business of waiting is also having to do with pleasing. So all of that is tied into faith, needing faith, needing patience. So that's sort of what waiting looks like. So what does waiting not look like? Well, here's an example. Back when my first couple of children were born, the fathers were not allowed in the delivery room. They weren't even allowed where the wife was prior to the delivery. So you know what our fathers did, right? And of course, we didn't have these, but we brought books along with us. We went out for smokes. We did all of those kinds of things. For my second born, the doctor came to me and said, "Mrs. DeRozier, there ain't nothing happening right now. It's 12:30. Why don't you go get some lunch? Just run down to the cafeteria, get some lunch." Well, I only lived 5 minutes away from the hospital, maybe 10 minutes away from the hospital. I just thought, well, let me just go over and get some lunch rather than spend the money. So I decided, well, my parents' house was actually on the way to mine. So I said, let me stop at that house and mooch off Mom. And I went walking in the house, and she said, "Congratulations." And I said, "For what?" She said, "You had a baby boy." I said, "I what? I just left the hospital 20 minutes ago." And he said, "Well," so it turned out that my cousin, who was a teller at a bank, and on the way to the hospital, we told her we were going to the hospital to have a baby today. Her husband was the head chef at the hospital. So she called him and told him to put out an APB to find out what was going on with the DeRoziers. He found out. He told her. She called my mom. And in 20 minutes, I missed the whole thing. So anyway, that's a little aside. But I don't even remember what I had that day. All I know is maybe I didn't eat. Maybe I just jumped in the car and headed back. But anyway, so waiting doesn't look like that, where all you're doing is pacing and trying to kill time while something that you're hoping is going to happen does indeed happen. So it's not, again, it's not a passive thing. It's an active thing. One other thing that I find that waiting is not, and this is something that I've experienced myself, and I've seen it in other people. I could be right with this. I might not be right with this. But have you ever felt like you had a sense from the Lord that you should get up and say something in a gathering, whether it's in a church service or in a prayer meeting or whatever? And what's going on inside you at that time is all of this nervous energy. Your heart is palpitating, you know, and everything is going good. So this nervous energy, I have kind of find out with me that's not necessarily a gift of the Holy Spirit. Because when I speak at work, and I do so quite a bit, I get exactly that same thing happen, you know, because it's sort of the jitters of just before you're getting ready to do that. So, I don't want to kind of say that that's squelching or quenching the Holy Spirit, because that's what it might be in you when it happens. I just have come to realize that happens to me a lot, and I can't use just the fact that I'm feeling nervous about what it is that I'm going to go ahead and do, and that be the Holy Spirit. Again, that's extra. I put it in the notes. I was going to take it out, but you don't get charged any extra for this one. So one other thing. Okay, so we talked about what waiting on the Lord looks like, what it doesn't look like, and here's what it is definitely not. It is not a license to neglect responsibilities. Here's the example that I had happen to someone that I know is close to me, who were talking. It was just a fellowship time, and he shares with me that he owed someone some money. Now, I don't know him well enough to know what his bank account looks like, so I didn't know whether he had the money or didn't have the money. I presumed that he had enough money. And he said, "I'm waiting on the Lord to provide so I can pay this debt." And there was something funny about that just really didn't sit well with me. It seems if God is going to do something spectacular for you, it shouldn't be by you not doing what your responsibility is. I think the better thing would have been for him to pay the debt that he owed, and then God make it up to him. And see, there's a measure of faith that comes from doing that. When there's no faith associated with the other, there's just a certain amount of irresponsibility. Again, that's a judgment on my part, and I'm sticking with it. So if waiting on the Lord requires faith and requires patience, and it's so hard, why is the waiting on the Lord such a hard thing with us? So living in 21st century America, we're conditioned, I guess, we're bombarded with everything that is instant. We get a lot of instant gratification, okay? So, you know, since the 1950s, we have fast food restaurants where you can just kind of drive, I should say 60s, I remember. I don't remember the 50s that well, but I remember the 60s. You know, fast food restaurants. You go to the checkout counters everywhere in all of the grocery stores today, and you got the, you know, 15 items or less, 10 items or less, and if you even can't do that, you can just go and scan your own stuff and do all of that, and you can order things online at home. You don't even have to go to stores anymore, and things just kind of show up on your doorstep. That does happen. I got some stuff yesterday, actually, in the mail. I just saw a text message that came into my phone, and it said, oh, there's something on my porch. I just went out and got it and brought it in, which was a cool thing. So when we wait, though, God works. I don't think God is a fast food God. I think he's more of a marinating God. I think his modus operandi is when he's quite ready to give us what we need, what we desire, what we ask for, that's when it comes, and that's how we get blessed. But by nature, some of us are doers, and what I mean by that is I was just thinking, looking up the definition of type A personalities. Yeah, are there any thus sitting in the room? Yeah, here's a couple, and then a couple more. So the definition of those are people who are characterized by ambition, competitiveness, impatience, quantity versus quality, and sometimes unrealistic sense of urgency. And here's something that I picked up on this. It says, and these folks are at a greater risk of coronary disease. So, oh my goodness, I'm glad I'm not type A. Now, type B, on the other hand, are people who are a little bit more moderate. They have ambition. They're more concerned about quality than quantity. That's me. I kind of fall in that to a fault sometimes. And they have a more easygoing approach to life. So, so by nature, some of us are going to struggle waiting on the Lord, and others of us won't struggle quite as much. What are the type C's? I don't know. Is there a type C? I don't know. I'm familiar with the A's and with the A's and the B's, but so the one thing about waiting on the Lord is it does build our faith, because when God does some things, it's really amazing. So I'm just going to read what I wrote here. Without faith, we cannot please God, and pleasing God is a good thing. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. That's another message. I'm going to put a check mark on that and save that for another time. Okay. So what I wanted to do is kind of in a summary of the introduction, that is, of my message, is how much time do we have, Randy? I don't have a watch. So thinking about what's that?
You'll wait.
So waiting on the Lord versus doing it yourself. So What do I want to say here? So you're getting the message? All right, you're getting the message. So are we going to obey a command of God or are we not? Are we going to receive God's promises or are we not? Are we going to get our faith built up or are we not? How about peace coming by waiting or not? How about drawing closer to God or not? How about increasing your faith or not? So which do you prefer? Waiting on God or not? Absolutely. So what we're going to do in the last few minutes is we're going to put this into practice. Oh, that was just teaser. That's all that was, okay? So you might say, I'm from Missouri. Show me, right? So you're going to get an opportunity for God to show you. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know I am God. So we're going to take a couple minutes and we're going to be still. We're actually going to take 3 minutes. I don't have a watch. Someone's going to have to tell me. I can see the clock. 3 minutes. And we got 5 left. So, man, we're doing great. So getting a personal word from God is awesome. It's actually affirming. You sense his love and all of that. So it's very, very good to be able to get a personal word from God. And I just happen to have brought my journal with me today. And I want to share one that I received back on March the 2nd this year. I wrote it in my journal on March the 2nd, but it happened on March the 1st. So I said, and what was the day before March the 1st? Right, February 28th, right? Or 29th. Good word. So I was going to read in my utmost for his highest, and of course the page before that was the 29th. I said, well, there is no 29th this year, but I'm going to read it anyway. So yesterday during my quiet moment, I heard the Lord say, don't ask, what have you done for me lately, but what have I allowed you to do in me lately? So I took my notepad and I wrote it down because I believed this was significant. A few minutes later, I was reading in my utmost for his highest, which is what I was reading, from February 29th, though it was not leap year. And in that day, it said, look at how we limit the Lord by only remembering what we have allowed him to do in the past. Ouch. So I felt like the Lord, you know, told me about limiting himself and in, in two ways, one right after the other. So I felt like that was really significant. And so I'm going to give us all the opportunity to be able to hear something from God this morning, okay? I'm not going to assume that we all have experienced hearing from God. We may or may not have. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, and you're here, I assume that most of you do, but I'm not going to assume that all have. And you're not even may not even be sure that he even exists. It's okay, because God's a master at this whole thing, and he can talk to you whether you believe in him or not. I got a testimony to give about that, but I just won't bother you with that just yet. So anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to take the next 3 minutes. So it's 2 minutes to 12, so I'm only going to run over by 1 minute. And we're going to give you the opportunity. So this is not a passive time. This is a time of delighting in the Lord, and let him delight in you. So be active in your thinking. Place yourself in his presence, and let him speak to you. And my timekeeper is beginning now. All right. It sounds like our 3 minutes are up. So did anyone hear anything? Not a single hand? There are some hands. So for some of you, this may be foreign, and for others of you, it's old hat. I would suggest that if you heard the Lord speak to you something in these last 3 minutes, don't leave here without writing it down. Because when God speaks, it's kind of important to remember what he says. We'll pass on that. So take it with you and pay attention to it and persevere. And take it home with you and do it again and again and again. And you'll be amazed at how much the Lord wants to guide and direct your lives by just listening to him again and again and again. Persevere, and you'll not be disappointed, guaranteed. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. I did think about the type C. I'm not certain if this is right, but I think it's the person that when they're interviewed and ask if there's too much apathy in the world, they say, I don't know and I don't care. So, not sure. All right. Well, let's stand together.